Good. Greetings, Grace Community Church. Thank you for joining us on this video on this Sunday morning. Our congregation is not meeting, obviously, and we're so grateful that you have joined us for this brief video. We want to stay connected in these strange times when congregations are being careful not to meet and continue to spread a coronavirus. So these are sort of unprecedented days and times for us, but we're doing the best we can do, and we're grateful to be able to share this video with you. And thank you for joining us. I trust you're well. We'd still love to know how to pray for you if you're not, if you need anything. We may not be meeting on Sunday morning, but our staff and our elders are still available. You can contact us by emailing us or calling us. Let us know how to pray for you. We can actually continue to meet with people. So if you need that, let us know. We would love to help you in any way we can and continue to shepherd our congregation. Let me say a word about the content that we're sending you this morning and we'll continue to send you throughout the week, and we don't know how long this will last, but we will continue to give you content. And so, first of all, the video you're watching, again, thanks for being a part of this. We're going to be in Romans 8 in just a moment, so you'll want to go ahead and get your Bible. We've also included some songs. The worship team, in preparation for this Sunday, recorded some of the songs that we would have sung if we had been together. So we're grateful for that. Thank you, worship team. And so you can join us in some singing. We also linked you to, and we'll link you to, the cancellation notice that we sent out last week. Also, words of grace. And the reason we did that again is because we want to make sure everybody reads that. That explains why we made the decision to cancel services today in light of the coronavirus spread. Also how we made that decision, and just a bit about decision-making in general. We think that'll be helpful. This is a discipleship opportunity. So go back and read that cancellation notice as well as the words of grace. That will be helpful. And then we've included a bit about online giving. We want to continue to practice good stewardship, even if we don't gather on a Sunday. We want to continue to do that. So you can give online. You can also mail in your giving to the church office or bring it by the office during office hours, and that will be helpful. And again, just a brief word about why we canceled services today. First of all, not out of fear, but really what we were doing is trying to exercise good wisdom and also love in our community. The cancellation notice and the words of grace will explain that. As I said, this is a discipleship opportunity, and so just take notice of that and be much in prayer for us as we continue to make decisions moving forward. Well, as you know, our congregation is in the book of Romans. Great time of preaching each Sunday through a portion of this New Testament letter. We're in Romans 3, and I had planned to preach a sermon from Romans 3, but today instead I want to read through Romans chapter 8 and then also spend a few minutes just talking through it, and then we'll close together in prayer around this great chapter of the Bible. So, if you have Romans 8, go ahead and turn there, and then I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll read it. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our congregation. Thank you for the congregations of our city. I know many of them are gathering together by way of video and other means, and so we pray, Lord, now that you would encourage Christians throughout our city. We pray that as people are worshiping in different settings, in different ways, as they're trying to connect together, that you would encourage us. We're also praying this morning that you would use this opportunity that we have in our city and our nation and really around the world to draw people to yourself. Now, Lord, as we open up Romans 8 and read it together, encourage us. This is a new circumstance. It may even be a bit strange or awkward to people to be having this kind of gathering online or by video, but we thank you for the technology and we pray that your Spirit would work and speak through what you have spoken now. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, again, as I said, Romans 8, a great chapter in the Bible, one of my favorite chapters. I'm going to just read the whole chapter and then we'll spend just a few minutes talking about some of the high points. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, but for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." This is God's Word, and what a powerful Word it is. I hope we find great encouragement this morning that we can have absolute confidence in God. That's the reason Romans 8 was written, to give us confidence, not in ourselves, but in God. And I just want to share a couple of ways, a couple of reasons for us to be confident in the Lord. First of all, the first verse, the very beginning, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means that our sins are absolutely, totally forgiven. We are washed and made new, and we are made right with God. And that gives us great confidence to know that we can actually stand before the God of the universe, the Creator of all things, our Savior and our Lord, with absolute peace. What could be more powerful and beautiful than that? There's a sense in every person, as we've seen throughout Romans, that we stand accountable to God. And we are aware that we have a distance with God, and we are aware that we're separated from God, and that we are sinners before God. We need a Savior, and in Christ we have that, so that by trusting in what Christ has done for us on the cross, His death, and then also His burial and resurrection, that He has cleansed our sins and given us new life, we can have absolute confidence that we stand before God without being condemned. What freedom and peace and joy that gives us. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to think on this verse and have confidence that we can stand before Him with no condemnation. But also Romans tells us, for instance, in verse 9, that we are not of the flesh. We're not of the old self, the old sinful self. We are now in Christ of the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in us. And again, what a deep sense of confidence that brings to our lives. We know that because we have God's Spirit in us, that we actually have spiritual life, that we have peace before God. Romans 8 says that the Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies. These physical mortal bodies are actually enlivened by the power of the Holy Spirit in us so that we can serve God every day now and that we will be raised in newness of life to come. And we have confidence that the Holy Spirit is giving us the power right now in this life to put to death the deeds of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh that actually lead to death. The Holy Spirit helps us put to death these deeds of the flesh so we can live in holiness for the glory of God. We have confidence that we're the children of God because the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit produces in us the cry, Abba, Father, and the Holy Spirit helps us pray and prays for us. What a deep confidence there is, not in our own strength, not in our own abilities to know everything, not in our own power to put to death sin in our lives, but the confidence that the Spirit of God lives in us. So we stand before God in a state of grace, and we live before God in the power of His Holy Spirit. And there's another confidence that we have in Romans 8. We find it in verse 18 and following, that we have confidence in the future. There is a future of glory that awaits the children of God on the other side of suffering. Romans 8 tells us that our future is one of the redemption of the body. These mortal bodies will be raised with Christ. They will put on immortality. That is what we call the redemption of the body. And these bodies will be glorified so that we can receive and live in the glory of God. Our future is that of a full adoption as sons and daughters. Yes, right now we cry, Abba, Father. Yes, we know that God is our Father. But a day is coming when we will enter into that adoption as the children of God in a way that we cannot experience in this life, and it will be absolute joy. And the future, Romans 8 is also tells us, is also a future of absolute, complete conformity to the image of Christ. I love this because all of those old things that are a part of our lives that we wish we could just do away with will someday be done away with. We will be like Christ. We will see Him face to face. We will be like Him. We will share in His glory. That's our future. And we can have absolute confidence. That's why, regardless of what's happening in the world or on the earth, whether it is a physical and natural disaster or whether it is something that is plaguing us in our emotional selves, we can be absolutely sure that in Christ our future is bright. We stand before God with no condemnation. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we will be conformed to Christ in the day to come. And that is great joy. And then, finally, the last part of Romans 8, maybe one of the most well-known passages in all the Bible, says that we can have absolute confidence in the love of God. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing on earth, nothing in the heavens, nothing material, nothing spiritual, not even ourselves can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Our sin doesn't separate us from God's love because Christ has died. Our human weakness doesn't separate us from God's love because the Spirit lives inside of us. What we experience now in terms of hardship doesn't separate us from the love of God because the future is bright. God loves us. And how does He love us? He loves us in Christ. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're still struggling with this winter, dark gray skies that's creating a lot of emotional stress and emotional lowness in your life. Maybe the whole coronavirus discussion has gotten you in a really tough place emotionally. Maybe your body is suffering, or you've got a big decision that's bearing down on you. Maybe there's relational brokenness in your life. Maybe fear has crept in. Go back, read Romans 8, meditate on this, the great love of God for you. Be confident in the Lord by faith. There's no condemnation over you. You have the life of the Spirit. Your future is bright, and God loves you. So take up this word today and believe it. Let me pray over us this morning. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the great truths of the gospel. Thank you that by grace, through faith, we can have the absolute confidence that we're free before you. We can breathe deeply. We know our sins are forgiven. And we know that we are yours. We belong to you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you didn't leave us alone. That we're not left in our weakness. We're not left in our flesh. But we have your Spirit dwelling inside of us, working powerfully, praying on our behalf, helping us follow Christ, actually making us look more and more like Christ, coming to us in all of our weakness. Thank you, Father, for the glory to come. Would you give us a vision of that? Of all people, Lord, your people on earth should be living with confidence, with vision of the future, with hope for the future. Thank you for your love. Lord, may your love animate us. May your love awaken love in us. May we love you with all of our hearts. May we love our neighbors as ourselves. This morning, Father, if anyone at Grace Community Church is suffering in any way, would you meet them? This morning, Father, would you remind us to care for each other? It is strange that we're not meeting together for Sunday worship, and maybe that's caused a bit of angst in our lives. So would you move us today to make a phone call, send an email, a text to someone to minister to them? Lord, we also want to pray today for our medical professionals in our congregation, in our city, in our nation, really around the world, Father. I know that sounds like a big prayer for us, but we pray it. We join your people around the world praying for the medical professionals. Father, give them wisdom. Give them skill. Give them endurance. Give them protection that they might lead the way in bringing us back to a sense of normalcy in life. Lord, glorify your name. Unify your church around the truth of the gospel. Purify your church in holiness and Christ-likeness. And glorify your name through your church. And Lord, we thank you for the use of technology, the ability to make a video, the ability to have an online worship service. Thank you for that. Bless us now as we move into the week to come. Give us the wisdom to make every decision that we are called upon to make for your glory and for the good of others. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, congregation, thanks for joining us on this video. More is going to be coming this upcoming week. More information, we'll be sending it to you. Make sure you read all of the announcements coming from Grace Community Church. Don't delete them until you read them. And let me say one more thing. Let's love each other. Today, reach out to somebody. Let them know you're praying for them and that you care about them. Thank you.